Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in the name of Yahushua, HaMashiach, Lord and Savior, Yehovah. Oh, yes, wonderful. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where many of the drivers have zero spatial orientation, but that's okay. We love them anyways. So, yes, it's on the way out the door, and, you know, you get that little thing that's just like, oh, okay, I need to take the recorder, because, you know, it's always good when we get the chance to touch base, and, you know, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on around us. There's a lot going us around with each of us as individuals, wherever it is that God has put us, realizing that there is no separation between you and the Father, that you are all part of the body of Christ, and we're all part of what He is doing throughout this world at this time. So, you know, there is... we get grafted into the vine, which is Christ. And once you are connected to the head and you receive your instructions from Him, if you're faithful to that, what you do is then part and parcel of what He is doing right now in the earth. And so if you do something over in California, if you do something down in Texas, if you do something over in Australia or in the Netherlands or in Sri Lanka or wherever it is that you are, location doesn't mean anything. Spirit is what counts. And if you do what you do in connection with the Spirit of God, then all you got to do is trust the reality, which is that that is part and parcel of the kingdom work that is taking place right now in the earth. You know, sometimes people, because the world has really done a lot to damage our thinking and damage the way that we see ourselves. I mean, the battle is for the mind. It's full on. The battle is for your mind and for your thinking and your thoughts. So what the world has done is it's really done a number on so many people. And a lot of times what happens is for followers of Christ, when you come to yourself, when you wake up as such, well, you still got a lot of thinking that was programmed into you by the world system that has to be undone. Programming that needs to be broken, needs to be challenged, needs to be revealed for what it is, so that you can, once it's been dispatched, you now can live victoriously in those areas. The ultimate that is the pursuit is the reality and the manifestation of Christ's prayer in John 17, oneness with the Father, that we would be one in Him. As Jesus prayed, you know, Father, even as I and you and me, let them be one in us. So no separation, no division, no barrier, no man standing in a pulpit telling you, here's what you got to do to become good enough to become... Nope, nothing like that. Ultimately, most of those guys are, what they're trying to do is lord over you, is to reestablish the curse of the law. You know, we've talked about this before. You know what the curse of the law was? The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. Ultimately, that was what the curse of the law was. Was that, you know, under the law, that, of course, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. And every year, you had a high priest under the Judaic custom that would go in and offer sacrifice and blood and you for the sins of the people. And, you know, that was... And there was a separation between us and God. And you needed a man to help you get there. and in the new covenant in Christ Jesus that's written in his blood, the blessing, there's a ton of blessings in it, but that's one big one that we talk about here right now, is that you don't need a man to get to God, period. Look, you don't need a man. You don't need me. You don't need you don't need anyone. You can go before your Father through the blood of Christ Jesus and through what he did on the cross for you and I, and you have direct access to him, period. Now, the problem that the world has is if you understand that reality, if you understand, if you live that reality, they can't sell you anything. If you live that reality, you can't be controlled. If you live that reality, you might just end up going wherever it is that God sends you, doing whatever it is that he tells you to do. You are now a loose cannon on the deck of their sinking Titanic, running around making huge problems for them, plus all of the spiritual residue from the freedom that you have in Christ, where everywhere that you go, it's breaking and shattering their all of the things that they're trying to do. They can't have that. So they got to go after your mind. They got to go after you through the relationships that are around you. Because, you know, here's the thing, too. When you start tracking strong with Christ, when you when you make that decision, make that resolve that there will be nothing that blocks you from him, and you want that, well, what ends up happening is because the enemy can't get to you, and he will try, but, you know, even whatever attacks he has, they sort of bounce off of you. They're there short-lived. Usually, you know, it's not a long-lasting thing. You just have to fight through it. And each time you end up getting stronger as a result of it. But what he'll do is he'll then start manifesting in the people around you. Because though you have made that resolve and that resolution, those around you have not. And so you got to see past it, realize that don't look at it on a flesh level. Your battle is not with flesh and blood, but with powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians chapter 6. So you will have to deal with those that are around you, that the demons are jumping in and out of their bodies, basically, and manifesting all over the place, you know, and see, the other thing too is that, you know, see what, okay, scriptures talk about a man without self-control is like a wall, like a city with no walls. When a man has zero self-control, or a woman, what ends up happening is, and basically they've got huge gaping holes in their flesh and in their soul, what the devils, the demons, they just walk in and out of that person whenever they feel like it. So when they want to do something, when they want to accomplish something, they'll just jump in and out of that person. It's very easy. So what they'll do is that for you, yeah, there's one right there. Okay, for you, when you have that happening around you, one thing that you can do too is, first of all, don't let it get you into a carnal framework. Don't let it get you out of spirit and into flesh. You can stay on a track of spirit in the middle of all of these things. But then, too, approach it from a spiritual level. You can, through Christ Jesus and the authority that he's put in you, you can bind those situations. You can bind the spirit that's at work in those people. You can pray your day. You know, before you go out into the day, you have the power in Christ to be able to lock down whatever the devil might throw at you that day. You can do that. And when things are try to test you in life in different ways, shapes, and forms, you go deeper than the level that it's coming to you at in the flesh and in the natural. and you completely cut the legs out from under it in the spirit, and you move on. You know, we in the dimension of spirit, we are quite fierce. You know, in the natural, people see us a particular way. They, you know, and we'll be nice people in the natural. Be helpful as much as it's possible to live at peace with people before God and men. Sure, absolutely, we try. But in the level of spirit, absolutely too. Full-on war. Our battle is in that dimension. The scriptures have talked about it. And so in that dimension, we take no prisoners. We take no prisoners at all. We completely decimate, completely chop into pieces everything that the enemy's got. And when you realize the power that you have in Christ, and you begin to move in that, it's game over for the enemy. I mean, he'll still try, but it's done. There's what more can he do? See, if you are in Christ, in him you live and move and have your being, and in the name of Jesus, you cast out a demon, you cast out a devil, you throw him out, you put him asunder, what's he going to do? He's got no recourse. He's got nothing else he can say. Now, the only way that the enemy gets access to you is through inconsistency. In that, if you are completely sewed up to the Father, if there's no gap, no inroads, no hole that he can come through to try to get at you, that there is zero access point for him. But if you leave gaping holes by your free will, mind you, you make choice and you make decision. If you do that, then now he looks for that spot, and then he hooks onto it. Then he comes through those places. Because though you be Christ, though you belong to him, in the midst of that, you're also creating opportunity for the enemy to access you. And ultimately, see, one of the things, the blessing too, another blessing of walking with Christ, is you have the power in him to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being 100% who God would have you to be. You know that Acts chapter 1 verse 8 where Jesus said, you know, you shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses, that to be the word there is martus, or it's where we get the word martyr, but to put to death, basically. You will have the power when the Spirit of God comes upon you to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being what it is that God would have you to be. So there is nothing in your life that would keep you, that can hold you. Yeah, I mean, it's a process, sure. But that thing dies. If you commit to the Father, if you just keep going with him, this stuff dies. It falls off. It can't stay because there's no resting place for it with you. You've made a commitment, you've made a resolution, and you're going in a particular direction. And as a result of that, you are now an inhospitable environment for the kingdom of darkness and everything that's there. It does not like being around you anymore. It's not comfortable living in your life. When your life is flooded with light and truth, and your life is given over to the worship of the Spirit of God, you think a demon wants to hang around that? You think the devil wants to spend much time there? The demons that get assigned to attack those followers of Christ that are like that, they dread that assignment. Oh my gosh, they dread that assignment. Why? Because they know that for themselves, they do so completely at their own risk, at their own hazard. Usually, those demons that get that assignment, I mean, it's just they're under strict orders because they wouldn't choose it, you know, for themselves, because they know the damage that happens as a result of trying to go in. So they do a lot in those situations with those kind of followers of Christ, to try to orchestrate the circumstances and the situations as best they possibly can to try to see if they can make inroads, if they can make something work, if they can actually accomplish it. Because the second that light is seen and it's discovered, their plan is uncovered, it's over. And they run the risk of you binding that spirit, binding that demon, throwing it into a dry, arid place, into a pit where it can never come back. They're stuck if they get found out. So they're very scared to come up against the children of light. But they that's what they exist for as well. But see, their ideal assignments, the demonic ideal assignments, is for those guys that are in the middle ground. The people that try to have the kingdom, but they're also nursing a part of the world in themselves. What are some ways that they nurse, and what are some things that they nurse? Well, your career, your personal ambition. Yeah, you love God, you love Jesus, but you also have this little thing that you just don't quite trust God on. Lord, I'll trust you with everything else, but this thing, let me take care of it. I can handle this. No, he is master of all. And so, and he will challenge that. He will challenge in every single area of your life. He will test his lordship in you to see if there be anything in you that you hold more dear to yourself than him. So career, relationships, family, you want to get married? Okay. Do you want that more than Christ? Okay. Right. See, you see what I'm talking about? And most people fall off. A lot of young people, they start out well, and then they drop off at the point where that is tested. I was reading, just about Abraham again recently, and here it is, the promise of God with Isaac. And that promise took a long time to be fulfilled. From the time that God made that promise to Abraham to the time that, in the natural, from what we would have seen, in the natural, that promise took a while for it to come to pass. People, this day and age that we live in, for sure, absolutely, the worlders have no patience like that. Even the people around Abraham didn't have much patience for it. And they tried to sort of make something work, make something happen. But you're not going to force God's hand or God's timing. But in that, the timing of God, when the Father actually made it come to pass the way that he had spoken and the way that he said it would, in that timing, in that way, after it was done, after everything was there, after, yay, the fulfillment of the promise, we love Isaac, everybody's happy, and then not too further on in the not so distant future, God then says, okay, now offer up your son. Offer up your beloved Isaac, the promise, that which you are waiting for, the joy of your heart, the thing that you, in the world, that you love in this life. And Abraham, being known as the father of the faith, he did what his dad would not. He would have fulfilled it. And the moment that God knew, and the moment that it was revealed that indeed Abraham withheld nothing from the Father, that anything that God would ask, he would do. And it's not in the action, my friends, it's not in the actions, it's in the state of the heart, it's in the condition of the heart. It is not about the ritual and about what you do, but it's about who you are at the core of your being. is people are too often trying to do for God, and they think that by the external manifestations, again, programming of the world, that if by the external manifestations, that that now is sufficient. And it's not. There's a lot of people that in the world that would kill their sons. Sure, they're wicked people. They're very wicked people with a wicked heart. But here's a heart that loves his son, loves the father, and God tests his priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, God's got a pretty amazing way of giving back to you that which you just thought that you lost or gave up for him. You know, those that follow Christ, truly follow Christ, I mean truly, not the 501c3 sellouts, no, not those guys, not the institutional, those that truly follow Christ, those ones, they have not been cheated out of life. You know, I remember I had somebody, a very dear friend early on, when I was really kind of carrying forward in what it is that God had sort of destined for the life that I would live in this world. And one time she was praying with me, and she just, one of the things that she prayed is she just said, God is not going to cheat you out of life. And there was something in me that thought that he would. I'm serious. As much as I love God, and as much as, I want to serve him and follow him, there was something in me that up until that time, and probably even, in a few instances since then, had that thought go through my mind that God would cheat me out of life. That I would not have something, that I would lose something that other people have or enjoy, that certain desires that were there would not be fulfilled, whatever. I mean, sure, that was there. And then and part of that thinking process was, okay, I'm going to follow God because I love him, and as a result of that following God because I love him, now I'm going to be cheated out of life, and that now is part and parcel of what it means to follow Christ. Yet another satanic deception and illusion. You poor, pathetic Christian, right? You've chose to follow Christ, and as a result, now you've been cheated out of life, and so that's what now you've signed up for. Poor you. No. Oh my gosh, no. You know what? The reality is of it is, the truth is, you lose. The only thing you lose is the garbage. The only thing that you lose is the stuff that would hold you back, destroy you, make your life miserable. And what he restores to your life, it's a full life. It's an amazing life. And you have that which is the desire of your soul, which is a fulfilled life, an abundant life. God gives and grants to his people an abundant life in him. I mean, that is the amazing paradox of this. When you give up your life for the sake of the kingdom, you find it. Whereas if you try to hold on to your life in this world, to be something in this world and in this life, when you've got your own agenda, you lose it. It's funny. The day and the age we've moved into now, everybody's a superstar. Everybody's a celebrity for 15 minutes. Everybody's got a YouTube video. It's funny. you know, what the world has turned into right now. And seeing people with that desire so much to be prominent. Because, you know, the world has told people is, look, if you are prominent, you are important. But that's not true. In their system, it's true. It's not true in the kingdom of God, which is the ultimate eternal reality. In the eternal reality, you are important because Christ placed value on your life, on your soul, on who you are. You are important because the highest price possible was paid for your redemption, for you to be brought back to the Father. And if you will go with that, you will know the reality of what the riches are available to us in Christ Jesus now. But you are important because God put priority and importance on you, period. You know, you're a winner. You know, I remember a little snippet of a pastor one time. He said that, you know, 2 million lined up for a race, and you're the one that won. So you already started out a winner. But anyways, you know, the thing is that. Speaking of your conception. All right. The thing is that, you know, for us in Christ, we are important because God has put priority and a premium on us by His blood. I mean, the price matches, or the amount paid matches the price required. So, you know, if you want, all right, use a temporal example. If you want to buy a Mercedes, and you walk into the showroom, and you tell the guy, okay, I'll give you $2,000 for that new Mercedes, he's going to laugh you out of the showroom. Why? Because the price that you're offering is not sufficient to pay for that which you desire. So now bring this down to your soul, to who you are, to what's inside of you. Well, for you, the price that was required was the blood of the price for your redemption was the blood of God. The blood of the Son of God was what was necessary for you to be redeemed, for you to be saved. So, yeah. It's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, the worlders, they can't help it. That's their system. They need to quantify their existence. They need to qualify their reason for being something. I mean, it's really quite sad, because the problem is that even now, it's getting harder and harder for them to justify that. You know, 30 years ago, you know, when they had a little bit more structure to their system, they were able to bring things. You know, you were something because you were part of some special clubs. Now there's tons of clubs. Because you had people watching you on TV. Now, you can go on any one of these video channels and some random guy will create something funny and have 33 million people watch it, where nobody will watch their highly produced television show. So, you know, yeah, it's you know, they can't, it's not, it's getting very hazy for them right now of what constitutes success even in their own system. They're trying. Oh gosh, everybody's still trying. They're all buying the watches and the cars and the expensive clothes and going to different places, and everybody's sticking up a picture on Facebook. Of, you know, Facebook is pretty comical actually, because it's what everybody wants seemingly to be perceived to be. So, and not necessarily who they are. Yeah, nobody has a bad day. Or maybe a few do, but, you know, by and large, it's like nobody's, you know, everybody's smiling and everyone's the life of the party. And here's a shot of us going here, and here's us on our special vacation and our special break. And yeah. So everybody wants to be a celebrity to their friends. Oh, alas. No, I play with stuff like that. But you can't take any of that stuff seriously, because it's all of it is an illusion. All of it is a desire to be perceived a particular way. It's not real. And, you know, the world, everything in this world is passing away. Everything in this life is not. Christ is. He is I am. The rest is not. You know, oneness with the Spirit of God, you know, that is your inheritance in Christ. That is ultimately the restoration that we have with the second Adam. We are made one in Him. And with that, there is no separation. So you become, and I become, an ambassador of Christ. Well, what that is a representative of the kingdom of God. You become an extension of the kingdom of God. So when people see you, they see the kingdom. When people see you, they see Jesus. When they see Jesus, they see God. When they see you, they see God. Yeah, I know. The purpose-driven 501c3 McDonald's franchise church would never go there, never say something like that, because you could never possibly, in their system, be a representative of God in this world. You're always a dirty little sinner. There's always something wrong with you. There's always something, some guilt, some shame, something that is sufficient for your blackmail, sufficient for your for you to never quite be right. You're always just 1, 2, 5 degrees away. But you know what? If you just keep coming to the meetings, someday you'll get it. Someday you'll be okay. Someday, you know how you know you're okay? Is when we tell you you're okay. When we approve of you. When we now say, all right, you're okay with us. Your hair now is the right length. You're wearing the right clothes. You have the right language. You, No, you wouldn't say fuck or anything like that. No, just to make a point. You are part and parcel of their system. And they want to let you know when you're okay. So, you know, one of the things right now is for you to break this thing. For you to break this hold that they want to have over your soul. One, you can't care about the approval of man. You can't. If you allow the approval of man to... Oh, and by the way, there's some people that like to write in and want to critique everything. Please, 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 please. look, the people that have access to us, that we ask for feedback on certain stuff, you know who you are. The other people that are volunteering services like this, look, save yourself some time, because we probably aren't reading those, okay? Or we're skimming through them or whatever, but you're not gonna access this, okay? We have no desire to come back into the system or the frame of mind or any of these other control patterns that the worlders have. No, we don't want it. That's what we left. So for those that keep trying to get access to us, save yourself the hours that you take to write those emails. Just don't. Stop. I'm serious. You're wasting your time. You're not wasting much of ours. You get about maybe 30 seconds, because as soon as we know the spirit behind something, we trash it. So, yeah. So anyways, I don't even think you get 30. We're getting pretty fast at this now. So, look, for those of you that want to interact with us, be real, be honest, be truthful, love God. Don't come with an agenda, because it's just that it'll stop right there. And you will actually probably end up doing damage to yourself, because you got to understand something too. The very fact that we've been able to exist for as long as we have is an indicator that the Spirit of God is with us in this, and that there is an angelic guard that's around us, that's protecting us to be able to do this work. That being the case, anything that is a danger to us in being able to fulfill the assignment that God has given us, what do you think He does with that? I'm serious. What do you think He does with that? Well, He commands His angels concerning us that we will not strike our foot against a stone. Consequently, what that means too is if you are the stone, He will move you out of the way. And He does that through a variety of different ways. Some are more gruesome than others. And so this is our little public service announcement and warning to the worlders. Look, just go the other way. Either repent, get right with God, stick around, or for the sake of you finishing your little lap on the track, which will definitely be cut short if you mess here. Not because we do anything, but God does it. He just takes you out. So I've seen a few of those happen recently. I take no pleasure in watching people's lives turn to mush. I don't. I really, to certain people that He's just eliminated recently, I look... I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you now. Just go away. So, and look, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, when you are walking in the Spirit and you give no place to the enemy, when he has no room to access you, then, and you're sealed up, you're whole, you're solid in Christ. Now, there's how much stuff is coming our way through the Spirit? You just become this flowing, just the rivers of living water flow through you everywhere you go. There's no leaks. It's just Him pouring through directly in line with His purpose and plan. It's amazing the things that start happening. And then once you start seeing what the abundant life can be in Him, after a while you get hooked on it. You want nothing else. For me, it has become, for me, an obsession, in that there is nothing that I desire in this life more than him. Because I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good. And in that process of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, there is nothing that I would desire that wouldn't be that. So, yeah, anything that pulls you off that is not worth it. You know that, you realize that, you live that. Yeah, so, alas, life is something. You know, abundant life is available now. Abundant life is available right now. You know, this is again, you know, one of those, misnomers. Back to the whole church system. All these guys are waiting for the rapture, waiting for something to happen, waiting to die and go to heaven, waiting for something, because the kingdom is always just that far out of reach. No, the kingdom is now. Today is the day of salvation. Live in this now. Walk in this now. Be what God made you to be now. Not later. Now. Why not? Why not? Why not be what God made you to be? Why not enjoy the life that God intended for you to enjoy this day? You know, I have not done a lot of things that I thought I would do. But the things that I have done and the things that I... Actually, I should say it differently. There's a couple of things that I thought my life would be. That I didn't do. But in exchange, I have done dozens of things that blow my mind if I look back in retrospect, in accordance with the plan and purpose of God, that I would have never conceived in my wildest imaginations that I would be involved with stuff like that. But God has done that and used me for that. And in retrospect now, looking back, wow. Amazing. So, would I trade the adventure that I've been allowed to live in Christ for what it was that I thought my plan would have been? Had it worked out perfectly, my plan and purpose? Not in a million years. Not in a million years. Never. Actually, never. Yeah, let's just say it like that. Never, ever would I trade it. I would not trade the life that I have lived in Christ for any other life. So, and I'm in the middle of this right now. So that being the case, I want to live this thing out. I want to finish this thing. I want to see for my eternal self the maximum of what life can be in this life, walking it with Christ and being what he wanted me to be, doing what it is that he wanted me to do, living this thing out completely. I want to see what that is. And I believe you want that too. So, in that process, live it and love it. Enjoy the life that God has for you. Oh my gosh, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, yes. So, alas, I must leave you for a little while. God bless you, my brothers. God bless you, my sisters. Keep on keeping on, and we'll catch up again soon. All right. God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.